to the Fantasy Finessers Podcast. I'm Maddie Wasserman. Thank you guys so much for joining us for our second episode. Here it is, NFL Week 8. We are approaching now, and I'm joined here by Colin Kapoor. Colin, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Maddie. Thank you once again for having me on. Love talking about fantasy football. I just survived the Bye-mageddon and won against with CeeDee Lamb, Dalvin Cook, and other folks on bye.
Yeah, so we talked about last week. I mean, last week, week 7 of the NFL season was the most brutal week for fantasy football because 6 teams were on bye. That's the only week this season the 6 teams were on bye. And not only were those 6 teams on bye, these were some of the most high-flying teams in the league with the most fantasy players. So now as we approach this week 8 here, there's a lot more options available to us. But as we're just finding out now as we start the podcast, it seems there's been a COVID outbreak in the Packers wide receiver room. So right off the top, we're going to start with what we just learned about this new stuff. So we have Devontae Adams that's out. Now we learn Alan Lazard, the number 2 receiver, is out as well with COVID. So where are we looking here right now with them playing just in 2 days on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, Alan Lazard himself was one of the standouts in the game against Washington.
Yeah, he
17
was.
Points with 60 yards and a touchdown. And now, you know, Randall Cobb, we're not seeing anything about him getting COVID, but obviously, like, it's such an influx situation. So waiver claims that would process tomorrow morning on Wednesday, like, you don't want to put a lot of money in on Randall Cobb if he's just going to get COVID. So I would put money in on Tonyan. He had a...
Yeah, I mean, Tonyan's probably owned in a lot of the leagues, but to the extent he's not... Or
he could have been dropped, though. He was having
a
rough
season. But it looks like he's going to be the only pass catcher for what's, by the way, going to be a huge game on Thursday Night Football between the undefeated Cardinals and you have the Packers. So that's going to be a great game. So, but it just seems like this Packers wide receiver corps in flux. And then in terms of the rest of their offense, I mean, Aaron Jones has been great. He's been pretty touchdown dependent, but he's been getting the production. He already has more receiving touchdowns out this season than he's had in any year of his career. So Aaron Jones is a guy that, again, I mean, listen, you have Aaron Jones on your team. He's your RB1. You're starting him. But he could be in line for even more pass-catching work this week.
Yeah, Jones, he's had one 41-point week and 3 weeks under 10 points, which, so he's been dependent on big games to make him the number 7 overall running back in PPR. But in this week against the Cardinals, the next week against the Chiefs, he is going to go off. There's no question about it. He's going to be fine. I think A.J. Dillon actually might get a little more run if Jones is split wide out as a receiver sometime, just with the
which
way
they'll put him in the slot sometimes, too.
Yeah, so I think Dillon's going to be – I think he's going to have a bigger role. Dillon only had – let's see. He only had 7 touches or 4 touches in the game against Washington. And I think Tonyan and Cobb are going to handle the work. I don't think – we're going to see that much of a diminished Packers offense just because Aaron Rodgers is so good. He's fine without Devontae Adams for the most part. So I think the Packers will be fine. I don't think it's going to be a blowout in favor of the Cardinals. So I think if you want to go pick up Tonyan or go pick up Cobb, like, that's fine. There's not a lot of bye weeks this week, so you can probably get away with the roster you have now and not take the risk on someone like Randall Cobb. But if you have to, you know, there's injuries, wide receiver injuries, and so you got to do what you got to do. But I wouldn't put too much stock in the Packers offense being as diminished as it might look.
I agree. So what we're going to do after we address the breaking news off the top, and that game, again, that's pretty soon, so you got to act quickly on that one, especially if you're someone that was counting on a Devontae Adams for this week's game. The other topic of consideration that we have to deal with here is the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I sort of want to talk about them as a whole because I think a lot of what they do goes together. Obviously, they have the just humiliating loss. They scored 3 points this week. It was just a brutal game, and honestly, I mean, there's a lot of concern. I see people on Twitter tweeting out Patrick Mahomes' contract. I mean, okay, look, that's extreme. But that being said, from a fantasy perspective, there's not the production there this season that if you spend some serious draft capital on acquiring someone like Patrick Mahomes right now, I mean, you're freaking out. He's thrown more interceptions already this season than he's thrown all of last year, and that tangentially has an impact on the rest of the roster. Tyreek Hill only puts up 11 points this week. So what are you seeing from Kansas City, and is it time to hit the panic button as the team as a whole?
It's not time to hit the panic button. Mahomes, this has been his profile for a while. He has the most dropped interceptions of any quarterback over the past 2 or 3 years, and we're just seeing some of that regression in the getting the interceptions actually caught. And he's the number 5 quarterback or number 4 quarterback in fantasy. He's fine. Don't panic on Mahomes. Don't sell him for like Jalen Hurts or something.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Jalen Hurts is the number 2 quarterback, but I feel like he's gonna get benched, man. I really do. Like, They have Gardner Minshew there. The Eagles are going nowhere with Hurts as their quarterback. And Tyreek Hill, if you're an owner without Tyreek Hill and you can get him, just do that. Like, don't even hesitate. Yeah,
and here's the thing about Tyreek Hill. So he scores 12 points last week in PPR games, 6 receptions for 49 yards. And you might say, okay, that's underwhelming. But I would actually make the case that what we saw last week from Tyreek Hill, putting up 12 points in that game, is actually as big of a positive as I can possibly imagine. In that, Kansas City played so bad against them. And you say, yeah, Hill's a guy that's dependent on when that Chiefs offense is flying. That's when you're going to see the best from Tyreek Hill. So even though that team wasn't good, to still end up that game with 9 targets and 6 receptions and 49 yards and putting together an okay game, right? That performance did not cost your fantasy team the game. That's the best sign of encouragement for Tyreek Hill you can see. Yeah, of course you had the 47-point game a few weeks ago against Philly, but that's not going to be the entire season. You can't expect Tyreek Hill to put up those kinds of astronomical numbers, but just kind of moving things along in the down weeks, that's all you want to see from Hill. So to me, that's encouraging. And the same thing goes for Kelce. Kelce is a guy that, yeah, obviously he's tight end one over the course of the season. That we're not breaking any news there. But even in these down weeks, still seeing that these guys are putting up average production is enough for me to know that once this team gets back on track.
And they will get back on track.
There's just too much of a track record for Mahomes, for Andy Reid, that, you know, yeah, they're in a funk right now and it's not looking good. But there's enough of a track record there that I say, ride these guys out. Don't panic. Just ride them out. We're in the middle of the season right now. Keep going with them.
Yeah, I don't have any Tyreek Hill, which is unfortunate. I really want to get him. Like, I would love to take CeeDee Lamb and maybe package him with a middle-tier running back and get Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't know if that's possible, but, like, maybe CeeDee Lamb and Eli Mitchell to an owner that is freaking out. Like, maybe that's possible. Like, you don't know, especially with the Chiefs putting up 3 points on a team that lost to the Jets. I mean, the Titans, obviously, yeah. They beat the Bills. They have beat the Chiefs, so they're not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but their defense is bad.
It just is.
And the Chiefs put up 3 points, so someone who's hitting that panic button and freaking out more than they probably should have, you can probably take advantage of them a little bit.
Yeah, there's definitely a huge amount of problems with the Chiefs. I'm not denying that. But at the same time, and then on the running back front, I'm a guy who owns Darrell Williams. It was not a good week for him. But again, that's just a negative game script. That's a product of that time when you're just passing it the whole game. And speaking of a negative game script and the impact it has on players, I just want to hit briefly on DeAndre Swift. This is a guy who
I love DeAndre Swift
is
so
putting
much.
Up, and I mean, if you look at the DeAndre Swift stats, this is like a 2019 Alvin Kamara level receiving production from the running back position, and a lot of that comes back to the negative games. So that comes to two things for me. That's the negative game script that they're running in. I mean, this week they were really competitive. Of course, he had the massive 60-yard reception on that first drive of the game, but for most of these games, they're running on a negative game script, meaning that they're going through a lot of passes, and Jared Goff is the quarterback of this team, meaning that he just thrives on these check down plays. And the thing with Swift is that he's only averaging 11 carries a game, but Swift's another guy that's just been so good to the extent that, you know, you're just looking for bottom tier RB1 production. Swift's been a guy that's just been, I mean, he's just been impressive. And you would say, yeah, those 11 carries a game, he's not getting a ton of rushing because they're constantly losing games. And the Lions' offense as a whole has been dreadful. But that doesn't translate to Swift. And he's one of those guys that's just, yeah, their team might not be great, but from a fantasy standpoint, he's just been as good as it gets.
Yeah, Swift is the number two running back in PPR. And I was predicting, I really, really wanted him because of that receiving work. Like, in a game in week one where Jamal Williams also had 8 catches, DeAndre Swift had 8 catches. And now Williams is not getting any receiving work for some reason.
And so much really of those why. Stats about those receptions is a product of Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff, he checks down. He doesn't push the ball deep. I mean, he doesn't really have the weapons to push the ball deep at this point. Sorry for telling everyone to pick up Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah. That's on me. I apologize.
Sorry, we forgive you.
But with DeAndre Swift, like, I think he's going to be a top 5 running back going forward, and he's not on a good team. He doesn't have the big name that someone maybe like Joe Mixon has. I would buy high on this guy 100 times out of 100. I would try to get him because, I mean, you look at his schedule. He's got a bye, and then he's got Pittsburgh and Cleveland. So his schedule, actually, I thought it was good. It's not great, but he is matchup proof because of the
receiving in PPR line. Especially
in PPR, yeah, and I hope everyone is playing in PPR.
Yeah, we're assuming most people are. So that's my brief thing on negative game scripts. So the Chiefs are not a team again. You're expecting them to either be in shootouts or they're going to be taking the lead in games if they can get back to their, you know, the production that we've expected from years past. The Lions are a team you're going into matchups knowing that they're going to be down big in games and they're going to need to rely on the passing game.
Yeah, one thing about Jamal Williams is he did get 12 carries in this game.
He has some standalone value.
He had some, a little-ish. He's gone over double-digit points twice this season. The real thing about Jamal Williams is if he gets carries, it doesn't really matter because DeAndre Swift, what matters for him is getting the catches, and that's what he's doing.
Well, the other thing is that we talked last week about a guy like Sony Michel, some of these high-end backups that were Swift to go down. All of a sudden, Jamal Williams is an insanely valuable fantasy piece. So especially if you are a Swift manager now, have Williams on your bench.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know in one of my leagues, a manager swung a Jamal Williams. He had Swift on his bench. He swung Jamal Williams and got, I think, Jacoby Myers for him or something. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing you can do, especially for a backup with standalone value. But I would just hold on. I wouldn't cut him. I would try to hold on to him because I hold on to Madison because I have Dalvin Cook.
And that makes sense just for insurance reasons. Yeah. And that's what happened. That happened to me last year with McCaffrey. And, you know, you end up getting the assurance of having of Mike Davis there.
Yeah.
And that's the key. So
I want to talk one thing. Darrell Williams, he had 3 catches for 30 yards in a game where the Chiefs got thoroughly dominated. And so he is on the field for those third down snaps. And he is he was on 64% of snaps for Kansas City. So he's going to be fine. They're playing the Giants on Monday night. Do not worry about Darrell Williams. He's going to be maybe top 15, top 20 until CEH comes back for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's a guy you want. So now I want to transition to the next team. And one of the most impressive teams in real life football this week was the Cincinnati Bengals.
Love me some Bengals.
With the demolition of the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens. I apologize. I won't edit that out. Don't worry. The Baltimore Ravens. And that was an incredible win for the team. I think what it meant for the team, what it meant for their projections over the course of the season, and it's now they take the lead in the AFC North. A few guys on the team that are interesting. Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, we don't need to, you know, obviously, Chase is awesome.
I tried to get him earlier this season.
It's too late now.
He put up 200 yards. You can't get him now. If you have Ja'Marr Chase and someone is giving you, like, I don't know, if you have any doubts about the offer someone is giving you for Ja'Marr Chase, just ignore it.
Is Chase a wide receiver 1 right now?
Oh, yeah.
I think he is.
I put him, like, I don't know, like top 8?
Maybe. Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of guys, like, you know, I mean, Davante Adams, like, this week for sure, he's top 8 because Adams is out. And I mean, a lot of guys are coming back, but I would put him ahead of CeeDee Lamb. Obviously, I think I'll put him ahead of A.J. Brown, too. Like,
I mean, he's getting to the point where that's in the discussion just because of how...
When you're, like he's, like, breaking a big play every week, and he's a rookie. Like that 84-yard touchdown for Ja'Marr Chase, it was a thing of beauty. Like,
well, here's the other thing with Chase that's amazing. Is that he's in the top 5 in the NFL in air yards.
Yeah.
He's also in the top 5 in the NFL on a per play basis in yards after catch. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's that fundamentally, those two things should be mutually exclusive.
From a mathematical standpoint, that doesn't even make sense, but that's how good he's been. And the connection with Burrow, I mean, we could talk about the whole thing, but he's just been awesome. Now, the guy on the Bengals that's more interesting to me, because, I mean, we can keep talking about Chase all day, is CJ Uzomah.
Yeah.
Uzomah right now is rostered in 10.1% of leagues on ESPN. That number is going to go up big time this week, I think it's fair to say. But that being said, he puts up 24 points this week, including 2 touchdowns. He has 3 receptions for 91 yards. I would just say this, and, you know, I was reading a bunch of stuff this week on ESPN. If you go to their fantasy stuff, they say, you know, ride Uzomah all the way. I would just say pump the brakes a little bit on him. I mean, if we're talking about, like, Pip, like, don't go all in on Uzomah. This is a guy who's had, in his last 3 games, he's had 2 receptions, 3 receptions, and 3 receptions. You know, yeah, he's broken a couple big plays, and especially over the middle, and this is a guy who's only had, you know, he has a bunch of touchdowns this season, right? He's 5 touchdowns. Only one of them, though, have came from inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that was so last week against Detroit.
Right, so this is a guy who's not even getting a lot of, even though he has 5 touchdowns, they're not even really all coming from goal to go situations. So even though he has the touchdowns, he hasn't been targeted that much in the red zone. This is a guy, I mean, we talked about the Bengals. You have Jamar Chase there, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd is the third option of the slot. You know, Joe Mixon is getting a lot of touches on the goal line. There's a lot of mouths to feed on that Bengals goal line. So I would just say, yeah, if you need Ozuma, if you're desperate for a tight end, pick him up. Spend a lot on him if you still have a bunch of your money left in the pool. But don't go all in on Ozuma. Just pump the brakes a little. He's had a couple big plays. That would be my whole thing about him.
Yeah, and with him, like, he's this offense has so many mouths to feed, like you were talking about. Burrow threw for 416 yards. They're playing the Jets next week. He's not going to have to do that. He might do it just because he's such a baller.
Well, this could be, and to your point about the Jets, and you make a good point about that, if they explode again, and if he has another touchdown, let's say he puts up another 60, 70 yards, you could pick him up now, you could try to flip him with someone else.
I think if you honestly can pick him up right now and trade him to the team who just lost Dawson Knox, you might be able to do that. And I think against the Jets, we just saw the Patriots put up 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns against them. Burrow, in all likelihood, can just stand there, hand the ball to Joe Mixon, and Mixon will run 80 yards for a touchdown every drive. Like, Uzoma, like, probably won't be needed, but a tight end that puts that has the upside to put up a 24-point or 26-point week like he did earlier in the season in week 4, that's valuable. And when you're talking about tight ends, when you can trade a tight end to a team, like in any 12-team league, probably, I don't know, maybe 5 of those teams aren't going to have a good tight end. And Waller's hurt now. So you can trade Uzoma to the guy who, or to the manager who has Waller, to the manager who has Knox. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to capitalize on teams not having good tight ends. If you have a good tight end, put some money on Uzoma and then trade him. It's like you can get a complimentary running back or wide receiver out of a tight end like Uzoma who has upside to put up 24 points in a given
week. And then rounding out some more things about the Bengals, their rushing distribution is really interesting. Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine split carries this week. If you're, I mean, yeah, you can kind of chalk that up to injury management for a guy like Mixon that's missed some time this season, but that needs to be concerning. If you're, I'm not personally a Mixon fantasy manager in any of my leagues, but if you are, that's definitely raising some alarm bells. He still, yes, gets 12 carries for 15.9 yards and a touchdown score, but he had no receptions in this game. And again, we talked about it. Yes, the Bengals offense has a lot going for it right now, but that means they have a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. And if Samaje Perine's going to get half the carries there, that's something for Mixon. That's a guy who's, he's been good throughout his career, but the reason why he's been so valuable in fantasy is because that offense has just not had a lot of, in his, and you know, 4-year career here, that offense has not had a lot going for it other than Mixon. Well, that is completely flipped on its head right now as we're talking about. So he's a guy that I'm concerned about right now. You know, Mixon, he's averaging 15.1 points per game. So yeah, it's been good, but he's trending in the wrong direction in terms of his workload. So that's a guy that I might be looking to offload if you have him, just because you got to be a little worried about Perine coming on so strong.
Yeah, and I mean, Mixon got 12 carries, like you said. Perine got 11, and Perine also had a reception on a screen pass earlier in the game. Mixon did not have a target. Burrow has not been throwing to his running backs that much. He doesn't have to because he has Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. And Mixon, you saw week 1, he had 33 total touches, and you were like, this is the guy I drafted, 25 fantasy points, a touchdown, 4 catches. And then he didn't put up more than 1 catch for a month, and then put up 5 catches for 59 yards and a touchdown last week against Detroit. So I think Mixon's going to have a good game against the Jets. It's the Jets. It's going to happen. So, but he still is the number 11 running back in PPR. You can probably trade him for a good wide receiver right now if you want. But, I mean, you want a piece of this offense, right? The Bengals offense is one of the most exciting in the league. And so if you don't want to have that, if you don't want to trade him, then maybe be afraid of missing out on a good game by the Bengals offense. I totally get that. But, I mean, you can probably – and also, he does go on his bye in a couple weeks. Maybe trade for a running back that just went on their bye. Maybe try to get a Zeke Elliott out of Joe Mixon. You don't have to worry about the bye week going forward.
Yeah, for sure. So now I want to, you know, kind of transition to a few of our top waiver wire pickups for this week, because we saw last week the waiver wire, I mean, it was just so depleted. You were just scrapping for anything. But there's a few more intriguing options this week, and I think that all starts with Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
Bateman right now rostered in 18.9% of ESPN leagues. And this is a guy that by this week should be upwards of 50. I'm putting a lot on Bateman. he's only played two games. He's obviously a rookie, the first round pick. He's one of those guys where, like, if you watch a lot of college football, you were like, how is this guy falling to the late 20s in the draft? How is this guy not up in the top 10 with those other guys? Just because, at Minnesota, he was electrifying. The Ravens take him in the late first round. I loved that pick for them then. And Hollywood Brown has had it by far his best season in the pros, obviously. But they've been still searching for that guy across from him. Sammy Watkins had a couple good weeks at the beginning of the season. But they're still sort of searching for that number two in the offense. And I think Rashad Bateman can provide that. He has 3 receptions for 80 yards this week, 11 fantasy points. But in both the first two games he's played, he's had 6 targets. And now the Ravens go into their bye week. The thing is that someone a lot of times you'd be like, yeah, that's a bye week. But for Bateman, I think that's a huge opportunity for him because now he's a bye week to install some more plays in the offense, to get a more featured role, because he's been sort of moonlighting as their third or fourth wide receiver in the offense, and he still had that level of production with 6 targets. It's only going to improve. Bateman's a guy. I'm all in on Rashad Bateman. I was all in on him from real-life fantasy coming to the draft, and from a fantasy perspective rest of the season, I think the Ravens' offense, they're great. Lamar's great, and Bateman's a guy I'm going all for.
Yeah, for Bateman, he is on his bye, and like he's owned on Sleeper upwards of 55% of leagues. So maybe a team's gonna drop him. Maybe like teams might have to deal with roster construction, whatever it may be, and they might cut Bateman. So if that happens, pick him up
or try to trade for him, because he's probably if he is owned in your league, he's probably on the end of someone's bench right now.
Yeah, yeah, and going into a bye, a team that needs to win now, maybe you can give. A low tier wide receiver, like you might be able to swing Tyler Boyd for Rashad Bateman. Tyler Boyd has very little value, but
as we talked about last week,
he is a football player that will play, and Bateman won't in week 8, and so a team that needs to win now maybe would consider that. And with Marquise Brown, unbeknownst to me until just now, is the number 5 wide receiver in PPR and standard.
And it's unbelievable. Wouldn't even think it. And he's been great and so consistent, too.
Yeah, he had 14 targets in this game and only had 5 catches. So if somehow the owner of Marquise Brown is like me and didn't know how good he was, which is unlikely, try to get him. I really want him.
Yeah.
He's going on his bye, so you might be able to swing getting Marquise Brown, especially if you're maybe a 6-1 or 5-2 team that doesn't necessarily need a win. Obviously you want to win, but if you're up in first place, you don't necessarily need one. It's so trying to get Marquise Brown is it's ridiculous. I saw a stat like in the last 6 games of last season and the first 7 games of this season, he's a top 5 wide receiver. So like, this guy, he's the real deal. I think he had that one game with drops. He dropped like 2 touchdowns, but he's turned it on this season. And I mean, with Sammy Watkins, we haven't seen Bateman without Watkins, but I really don't think Watkins is going to be a threat. He hasn't had 100 yards. He hasn't had a touchdown. He hasn't had more than 5 catches in any game this season. So I'm great. I love Bateman, and if you can somehow find a way to get Marquise Brown, you have to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, the buys this week are substantially less impactful than they've been in past weeks. But as we said on last week's show, if there's someone on a bye, that someone has a bye. So, like, for example, my team in one of my leagues has Lamar Jackson. He's on a bye this week. I got to go to the waiver wire to pick up a quarterback. Take advantage of those teams that are desperate, that have teams with byes, that are trying to make short-sighted plays. The other guy that I really look at in this week, I mean, again, you're not going to find a huge amount of top-tier options to target, but another guy that I think is important that we mentioned, that we've neglected to mention, is Dearness Johnson. To the extent that, like, Nick Chubb is probably coming back either this week or next week, don't trade for Dearness Johnson. It was a great week for him. The guy 3 years ago was cold-calling AAF teams looking for a job. It was a great story. But don't try to trade for Dearness Johnson. I mean, that was a great thing. But the Browns' offense with Kevin Stefanski does with the offensive
line. And Chubb is coming back.
So that's a guy. I mean, maybe he has some standalone value, but that was the ultimate. I mean, just the highest of the high for that 1 week. But it's going to come back down to reality for Dearness Johnson. So yeah, with the Browns' backfield, yeah.
With Johnson, we mentioned to pick him up. I did not think he was going to have the type of game he did.
No one did.
I really didn't see, especially with the Browns' offensive line as roughed up as it was, they still managed to demolish the Broncos' linebacker core. And so if you have him, send out an offer and try to get rid of him, like maybe to the Chubb owner, you know, like try to handcuff, give the Chubb owner handcuff and get an actual starting piece in return. And thinking about quarterbacks, I think Carson Wentz is the number 17 quarterback, so he's not great, but he has quietly put up four solid weeks, and he's facing Tennessee this week. Also, Tua Tagovailoa and Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones is going to pop off this week, honestly.
Yeah, especially playing, if Tony comes back.
Yeah, he's playing the Chiefs. Jones only had 17 points against Carolina, but Carolina's defense is pretty good, even though the Giants did somehow beat them. But they're playing Kansas City. Kansas City's defense, as we saw, is a nothing burger. So I think Jones is good. I mean, if you have a Lamar on bye or something like that, it's not as bad as last week, obviously, with Herbert and Dak and Kirk Cousins. But, you know, also waiver wire quarterbacks is always good to have one or two backups in case your guy gets injured.
Yeah, for sure. And just a couple more people. Christian Kirk is owned in 30% of ESPN leagues right now. Christian Kirk's a guy that has had five games a season with upwards of 50 yards receiving. He's posted double-digit points in five games. So he's a guy that, again, these are some of the most high-powered offenses in the league. When we talk about someone like Arizona, you just want to get a piece of that offense right now. And Christian Kirk has been a great receiving option alongside DeAndre Hopkins, alongside A.J. Green. And that's a guy that Kyler Murray's been targeting a huge amount this season. I mean, you watch those games, Kirk is always involved. He needed a couple more chances even than the receptions he had last week that could have gone for big plays. So that's a guy that if you are wide receiver needy, especially in a PPR format, Christian Kirk's a guy that I want to look to target, and you just want to get a part of some of those best offenses that are in the league. So,
yeah, we one thing we did mention in last week's show, to wait until DeAndre Hopkins plays Houston and then try to trade him. He put up three straight weeks of over 18 points. His name is DeAndre Hopkins. You can get someone good for him. You know, he's playing Green Bay this week, so it should be a shootout type game, one would think. But, you know, you never really know with Green Bay, especially the way they've been a little up and down, especially on defense. So DeAndre Hopkins might do well. He also didn't practice today, so there is that. But he has the name value to bring back maybe a top seven wide receiver.
And another offense that's been big has been Atlanta's offense. Now, this is the one I want to hit in the context.
I started Mike Davis this week, and I hate myself for it.
Now, listen, Mike Davis put up 1 point. It was brutal. That was no fun.
I drafted him as my second running back, everyone.
Listen, you know what? You read the fantasy catalogs. You saw him there on that day of draft day, and you said, yeah, why not? The only who else is in that offense?
Cordarrelle
Patterson,
of course.
His 27th team.
Of all of the people.
Of all the people. Now is a high-end RB2. Who would have known that? But in terms of that offense, Calvin Ridley only has 4 receptions, but he had 10 targets in this game. He's a guy who, he didn't have 4 receptions for 26 yards, and a touchdown is not exactly going to inspire that much confidence going forward, though. Alongside Ridley, we saw Kyle Pitts, what he could do.
Kyle Pitts is unfair.
Pitts is great. Don't sell Pitts right now. Just let
him
ride him out.
If you're in my league, I would love him. But, a tight end with Kyle Pitts' profile, who is just an unfair cheat code. He looks like a Madden created player.
Yeah, and he doesn't even make sense because you see him on the field and you're like, is that a wide? Is that like,
he's lined out wide, I think, 60% of the time.
He's kind of like A.J. Brown, but like called a tight end.
Yeah, and called a tight end, you can play him in your tight end position in fantasy, which is just unfair.
Yes, correct. The same way that you can play Cordarrelle Patterson at running back, and he's going to play running back, he's going to line up at wide receiver, he's going to do whatever. Same with Kyle Pitts. That's kind of the offense. Arthur Smith there just likes to use those players in unconventional ways, and especially in fantasy, the way the positions are so stagnant, you can use that to your advantage. But the guy I wanted to highlight here, and again, this could be in a slightly deeper league, Russell Gage has only played 3 games this season. He played the first 2 weeks. Week 1, he put up a 0. Like, literally 0 receptions on 2 targets. But then after that, he had 7 targets and 5 receptions in his second game. Then he missed 4 weeks with an injury, but he was back on a big way last week with 6 targets, and he had 4 receptions for 67 yards and a touchdown. So that's a guy, again, that Falcons offense, the first couple weeks, it was pretty stagnant. You were like, should Arthur Smith even be a head coach? And now at this point, you're looking at that Falcons offense, and that's another one where they don't have a very good defense. They're going to be in a lot of high-scoring games. Matt Ryan has been playing good enough, and that's just a fun offense that you want to sort of get a part of.
Yeah, with Russell Gage, like he had four less targets than Ridley, but also had 40 more yards.
Yeah.
And this is also, like I said before, the Falcons already had their bye. You can probably pick up Russell Gage in all likelihood because he was injured for a month.
Yeah, he's only owned in 9% of ESPN leagues.
Yeah, and with Ridley, I still think he's worth nothing right now. You can probably trade
for Ridley's him. A guy, I don't know about it to say worth nothing. He's a guy who's on my team, and I'm not looking to trade him. I'm not also
you held him for this
happy.
Long.
I'm not like, also like, yeah. Let's go. I got Ridley. This is a league winner. There's definitely not the case. But I think with Ridley, he's a guy. You 10 targets last week. He's a guy that's still the focal point of this offense.
I think Kyle Pitts might be the focal point of the offense now.
Kyle Pitts, yes. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is getting the
but
attention.
He might be the Julio Jones to Calvin Ridley's Calvin Ridley.
Perhaps. But Ridley, even when Julio was there before
yeah, he was
Julio
good.
Got old,
yeah.
Ridley was a great player. And yeah. I still think he's the number one guy in that offense. But again, that's a guy offense that has Cordell Patterson. That's just a kind of a fun offense. It has a lot of ways to use players. And Ridley's still the reliable guy. Yeah, Pitts is the flashy one. He's the one making the exciting plays. Then you're like, oh, Kyle Pitts, this guy. Calvin Ridley's kind of been there for a few years. You're like, all right, Calvin Ridley, like, we know you're good. But independently of our preconceived notions that Calvin Ridley should be exceeding his expectations, I find this one interesting. Calvin Ridley, so on the ESPN, if you play fantasy through ESPN, you know that it has this boom or bust feature where if it goes under the threshold of, let's say, 10 or 11 points, it's projections for a guy like Ridley, it'll say it busted that week. If it goes well above the projections, it booms. Calvin Ridley this season has zero booms and zero busts. He's been in between 10 and 17 points in every game this season. That indicates to me that even on his down week, this is not going to be a guy that, for example, like I started Tim Patrick last week. That's a guy that had two receptions. Whoops, whoops is correct. And I'm sorry,
I also started Tim Patrick last week.
You also started Tim Patrick. Yeah. It was not a pretty sight to start Tim Patrick. But that being said, Tim Patrick's two receptions cost me a huge amount. Calvin Ridley is a guy that even in bad weeks, he's still going to get a few options, and he's still always going to be one of the focal points of an offense. And Matt Ryan's a guy, they're not going to have a lot of weeks where they just don't score. There's always going to be some level of production in that offense.
Yeah, and with Ridley, he's had 8 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets, 13
right,
targets, 10
exactly.
targets. Like, and we were talking about how bad this Falcons offense looked. He was still getting 10-plus points. He's going to have a big game eventually. It will happen. I don't know if it's going to happen this week against Carolina. I'm not sure. But the way this offense is, Kyle Pitts is going to get his because they finally figured out how to use him.
Yes.
But that I think that's going to help Ridley out. I think it'll open up
Absolutely.
Some lanes for him.
I think that the Pitts emergence, having to cover him over the middle, really gives Ridley his space to work on the outside. And he's a dynamic player. As we saw when he was operating alongside Julio, you know, he is a electrifying player on the outside when he's given the space he needs to create, especially with yards after catch. I mean, he's one of the best in the league at that. So Ridley's a guy right now. I'm not really saying to go, you know, buy him out, but I also wouldn't trade him. He's a classic hold case to me where he's been kind of underwhelming, but he hasn't been a bust. So that's a guy. The Falcons offense is fun. I mean,
yeah, you've had him for this long.
Just ride him.
You waited through that one Jets game where he didn't play. You waited through his bye, and now you have him going into a stretch of he's not going to be injury. If he doesn't have an injury, he's going to be on the field every week for the rest of the season.
I like to get up to 30.
Yeah, so anything else for you before we wrap up here? Any big storylines you're looking out for?
I think don't panic on any Chargers. Justin Herbert's going to be just fine.
Yep.
If you can, I tried to get Eckler. Obviously, that
go,
didn't work.
Please try. I mean, this guy has been one of the best in the league.
And I think I may have mentioned this before. I do not remember. But Jalen Hurts is the number two quarterback. Please try and sell him.
Anything
please.
You can do to sell him. This is a guy.
I think he's going to get benched. Soon.
And what's
really
unbelievable
do.
Is not only is he the number two quarterback, he's also right now, if you go to ESPN's, ESPN has a huge amount of fantasy football content that they put out there. If you go onto their website and you look at the consistency rankings, now they have this metric of consistency rankings, basically this formula that determines who's been the most consistent fantasy players so far this season. Jalen Hurts has been on their metric far and away the most consistent fantasy quarterback
because he's
this
put
year.
Up
he's
20
been
points
unbelievable.
Or more every single week. But if you watch
if
Jalen
you actually
Hurts play,
watch the games,
just don't watch him play. Just don't. Because you'll be hurt physically on the inside if you watch Jalen Hurts play football.
So, you know, Go text whoever you're. If you have Jalen Hurts, go text someone in your league the consistency rankings article, because not only is he number one, they have him as almost double as consistent as the next most consistent quarterback, which is Tom Brady. I mean, it's unbelievable. They have him as a guy who, if you're in a 12-team league, he's been in the top 12 every week this season. So now, simultaneously,
and somehow his starting job is in danger. And somehow,
it's this bizarre paradox that I can't even think of a real parallel to it. But Hurts is a guy.
I feel like those like rookie quarterbacks who sometimes are. I mean, Jalen Hurts was a rookie last year, but like who run for 60 yards and a touchdown every game, but can't pass.
And there's like Gardner Minshew buzz right now that he's going to outplace.
On Sleeper right now, 6 hours ago. Article titled "Jalen Hurts Starting Job in Danger?"
It doesn't even make sense. So anyways, with the context that Jalen Hurts has been one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy, and he also could get benched by his own team because the Eagles are a horrendous football team.
You got to get rid of him. You have to.
Dump him, please.
Don't trade him.
Don't wait. Okay, you know what I mean. Do not dump him. Trade him. Offload him. Tell whoever in your league is about the consistency rankings. Guy's been great in fantasy. He's been terrible in real life. If you actually watch the games, you watch Red Zone, you'll realize that Hurts has not been a great player. So that's our last piece of advice here for today. There are some guys that their stats have been great, but just watch the games, see how the game scripts are being dictated, and you'll ultimately see some loopholes in this fantasy statistics, because that's what we're trying to evaluate. Past performance can indicate it to us a lot, but we also have to look towards the future, and that's what we're here for.
You have a lot of players coming off a bye this week. There should be a lot of points. If you're in a good spot, season's looking good. So hopefully, for me at least, my season keeps going strong.
But yes, for sure. My main league, I'm 4-3 right now, so we're just we're gonna keep going here.
I'm 6-1.
6-1. All right, see, this is why
I give you the advice.
This is why he gives you the advice. Even if sometimes it materializes in St. Brown having zero, he's still here for the advice that he's 6-1.
I sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't.
You know what? We're not going to bat 1,000, but our goal is just to get better than the rest of the people in your league. All right, Colin, I think that's all we got for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maddie, for having me once again. I love talking about fantasy. We'll see you guys next time.
Of course, and we'll be back later. I'm Maddie Wasserman. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time on the Fantasy Finessers podcast.